So just to start, can you talk a little bit about the situation in your community right now in Fort Chippewa?
The situation presently is that people are facing a rare cancer. This cancer is only found in 1 in 100,000 people, and there's only 1,200 people there. This issue was raised by Dr. John O'Connor recently in the last year, and he was charged by the Canadian Cancer Board with raising undue alarm, and they charged him with 4 actual charges. They dropped 3, except for the 1 of raising undue alarm. And they've got 6 cases so far this year that I know of, and 6 cases in a town of 1,200, well, that would compare it to a major city. That's like 5,000 people.
And where is this rare form of cancer coming from, and what is it?
We believe it's in the river. It's in the water. Because the river flows right by Fort Chip. And it comes, and then the oil companies, they release some of their stuff into the river. They have water they say that's recycled, and the stuff that's really bad, they put in tailings ponds. With several companies that are doing the same thing, and with the cumulative effects of how many years they've been doing it, it was only a matter of time before the people started getting sick. And they started noticing this within the last 15 years. Other physicians that were there didn't raise the issue, but they knew the problem was there. So they basically, the health officials there knew, had an idea what was going on, but didn't know how to bring it about because basically their careers would have been online. And Dr. John O'Connor was our martyr, and he put his career on the line and said so, and that's what happened to him.
Can you describe a bit the tar sands? How close are they to the community? How long have they been operating?
Tar sands are probably about 200 and, say, 50 clicks up downstream, or upstream, I guess. Fort Chip is downstream from the tar sands, and the river flows right by the Fort Chip. So the water intake is on the lake, and they have a filtration system there, but it only looks for bacteria. It doesn't look for cancer-causing agents. So we believe that after a certain number of years of consuming this water, it sits dormant in your body because we all have cancer cells in us, and it ignites it. I guess with enough times that you're exposed to it, that eventually it's going to pop up, and it comes in the forms of cancers.
Has your community been consulted at all in the process of tar sands development? Has anybody from the government or any of the corporate representatives come to get your consent for the operations that are happening upstream?
No. Recently, they've come up there asking what our problem was. Recently, in the last year, since these issues have come up and it's been finally out in the news and out globally and people are knowing it, finally they're coming forward and say, oh, what's wrong? What's you guys' problems? Well, yada, yada, yada. I want to know and act like they're concerned, which we know is just, it's false. It's false. The whole thing is false because 20 years ago, they didn't consult with us. 30 years ago, they didn't consult with us. Only recently, after the Supreme Court went to the Supreme Court and said that consultation was they have a duty to consult, only then, all of a sudden, this whole big thing came up that they have to consult with us. Before that, they wouldn't even bother. They would just go in there and take everything out. Mm-hmm. And they took them 66 years to make this privatized. The Mining Act, which was signed in the 20s, there was no First Nations stakeholders sitting at that table. Like, as if they, in the 1920s, they even allow a chief into the room of them making these choices and these laws. So, in my eyes, and in the eyes of Canadian law, that should not have been. Like, as shareholders of the land, they should have consulted with us then. They should have asked the chief of the area to come there and say, hey, we're going to make these laws up and go mine up your land and take everything out of there. And they didn't do so. Under Treaty 8, it was to share the land and its resources. They're obviously not sharing the land and its resources. They're taking all the resources and taking all the money because all these privatized companies don't have to do so. If it was government, they'd have to. But the government, with the $4 billion, gave it to the rest of the province and not to the First Nations. Now, if all the resources that they've extracted out of the lands in Treaty 8, if they're supposed to give back to the people, that's about $200 million a person, I'd estimate. It's just a guess. I'm just throwing numbers out there, but imagine how much money they made. $4 billion and how many people are in Treaty 8? How many actual First Nations people? Now, with this development, if they were used Canada's Alberta's population and to say we're only taking resources to supply our own province, I'd say only one of those companies would have to run to keep Alberta going. Maybe 1.5 companies to keep the country going. But with all these other companies coming in, this is all just for profit. Mm-hmm. And out of that profit, through the Chalerma Triangle, there's 2 wins and 1 loss. The loss is the loss of community. which is the community of Fort Ship, having to face this loss, and the community of Fort Mackay. They have cancers there, people have asthma, the elders are getting sick, and it's all around, and yet no one's doing nothing about it. They had a health study, but it was flawed. They didn't consult with the right people with it. They know that the information they had, the data they had, wasn't exactly what they needed, what they should have used. They only needed enough just to pass the study and say everything was okay, to hopefully tell the world or the rest of Canada that there's nothing going on, that this is all a myth, and that this whole thing is a big hype. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to take those people that did that and show them to my auntie. I'd like to take them to the graveyard in Fort Ship, that we want them to slow this down because our graveyard is getting full. So if they can see the faces that they're killing and see this, then maybe then they'll have a different choice on passing some study that they say there's nothing's wrong and it's all hype. Because once you put a face of on what's happening, it might make a human choice to make a different thing, make a different choice of what we're facing. So
you've been talking about the human cost of environmental destruction and of ecocide in your community. How do you think that race factor and colonialism factor into what's going on in the tar sands right now?
Finally, it's being exposed. Finally, this is being put to the front that we are facing environmental racism. Fort Ship is a sacrifice zone. Fort Ship people right now are being sacrificed for this oil, for this tar sand to keep developing. And they keep pointing their fingers to each other saying, we're not doing it, we're only releasing this much of water, this much toxins into the air, into the water. We're only doing so much, it's not just us. But yet there's how many companies up there running right now? So it's all of them that's doing this, which is the industry, the tar sand industry. That's why I said this is slow industrial genocide, which the people they're facing. And that's just one aspect. I mean, if it starts in Chip, like Chip would be like, I'm hoping that Chip would be where the stone hits the pond and it ripples out to the rest of the world, that this sickness is right now is spreading out. It's right there. It's only a matter of time before the rest of the world are feeling it. I mean, global warming's come into effect, that people are starting to notice, and that with cancers coming from this thing that's happening within our own country, let's hope that it wakes up the people and say, we don't want this to happen. We don't want this in our backyards. We don't want our people to die. That we as humans should not have to let other humans die. That's racism. That's discrimination. It's genocide. That's the only best way I can put it, right out genocide. There's no other words in English where I can put it besides murder. But it's genocide. Like when you look up the dictionary, look it up and what it means. And what's happening to us, yeah, it's straight out genocide.
I think we've all heard reports of corporations and the government saying that the tar sands are going into poverty-stricken northern communities and providing employment and providing people with chances of a better life and whatnot. And I'm wondering what the reality is on the ground and how people are reacting to the tar sands and to this growing health crisis.
If Canada didn't put in play that they had to have a certain amount of population of hiring First Nations people in their sites, and that I think it was a percentage of Canada, how much the First Nations make up of Canada, that's how much they have to have working for them. Yeah. And if they didn't have to, they probably wouldn't even hire us. But now through a consultation, they say, oh, we'll give you training, we'll give you jobs. People that work out there get discriminated against because they're like, oh, why is he getting a job because he's First Nation and I'm not? That's discrimination right there. And then how many people want to actually work with people like that? When you know it's out in a room of 10, if you're at a First Nation, they're all talking about you because you're First Nation and you're working there, that's discrimination. Nobody's going to want to work in an environment like that. Just because you're a different race, all of a sudden they're making a joke about you or just laughing at you or saying things about you. A lot of people go working there, they have to live with that because they need the money. So, I mean, some of the things that they say when they're helping us, they're not. They're convincing us to help them destroy our own land. Coming into our backyards and saying, hey, you know, you want a job? Here's some money. Help us kill this off. Help us kill you. It's like that. There's people who are working in tar sands that feel the way I do but can't say nothing because of losing their jobs. Because they have families in there doing so. I have family in there. And I told them what I'm going to be doing. I told them what I'm going to be saying, and they support me. I'm not going to say their names, but they're in there. I've got family, friends, people from Fort Chip, people from Fort McMurray, Fort Mackay. I mean, it's just to the point now where they're ready to come out and say, you know, the hell with you guys, we don't want to eat this anymore. You're killing us off. There's only so much where people are going to take where the rest of the world is going to rise up and say, do we really need this? And especially when you have other alternative sources of power. Basically, they're just doing it for funds. And oil companies have done this throughout the world to indigenous peoples, killing them off, destroying their lands, you know, and getting away with it. Now the same model is being applied here. So the best thing we can do is learn ways to fight this, learn ways to go against it, learn ways to slow it down or stop it. I would want it stopped. I don't really want moratorium. Moratorium is to slow it down. I want absolute stop. Put their shovels down, stop their trucks, get out of there and go find something else to do. When they start feeling the effects, then they'll see what I mean. When they start feeling it, when their families are dying, when this whole thing collapses, they'll see what I mean. Right now, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Right now, it's just me coming out and saying it as an individual coming from a community that's facing, basically, extinction. And when the rest of the world is facing extinction, then maybe they'll wake up. And if not, it might be too late.
What can people who are living far away as allies do to support local struggles against the tar sands?
Well, like I said, it comes down to individual choice of the choices they make of using these products. Learn what kind of products are produced out of this petroleum. Like it's not just oil for your vehicles. There's other things. There's plastics. There's stuff like that that's being produced out of this oil. If you can learn what's being made from them, and then just basically boycott it, or else spread the messages of what's going on. Pass this on to your friends that what's happening is happening thousands of miles away, but we're killing people by doing so. Put in your conscience that when you're filling up that gas, or else when you're buying a plastic bottle or any kind of consumer things that you need, that somebody died doing that, that people are dying because of that's happening. So like I said, it comes down to individual choice. When you start making that choice and you want to make a different lifestyle choice, imagine the lives you'll be saving, not just your own, but presently today, the lives you're saving in Fort Chip. I mean, that's the best way I can put it out for them to say and do that. If they know organizations or groups that are coming around there, then support them any way you can. Like, it doesn't really mean going out and donating. It's just coming and listening to them, coming and helping them spread the news. Like when someone says they're happy for what I'm doing, that's support for me. That puts pride in my heart and my spirits lifted up again. That what I'm doing is right. That somebody somewhere who's got the power to make the choice will make the choice and will help the people. They won't have to face us anymore. And not only are they going to be saving the lives of people of the Fort Ship, but in the long run, they'll be saving their own lives and their kids. Because if this continues, basically they're stripping their kids' chance of survival. And it's only a countdown to all of our extinctions if this continues.
Is there anything else that you want to add? Or?
I think it pretty much covered it. Other than that, it's just no new approvals. Stop this thing. It's got to be done. It's a beast. It's killing everybody. Like, it's right now, it's sitting in my living room, sitting next to me watching TV. This cancer is sitting there. My family watching TV with me, and they're dying in my same living room. All you can do is help stop before it's knocking on your door.